Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome from me. My name's Graham. I'm one of the other pastors here at this church. And today is Vision Sunday, as you already know. And I want to start by just reflecting on what's the big deal with vision? Why do we need it? We could go with the old translation of Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So we could go with that. That makes it quite an important thing, doesn't it? What is vision? What's it about? It's about where we're headed, if we're headed anywhere at all. It's about what we see ahead, if anything. You know, is there a destination? It's about how we see everything as we look around in our lives and in this world. It's about the direction we move in. You know, vision or lack of vision will determine whether we progress or we regress, whether we grow or whether we stagnate. It's true for us as people in our lives, right? But it's true for us as a church. Super important for us as a church. Now, slight gear change here. Have you ever tried stand-up paddleboarding? No. Well, I'm not going to encourage you in that. During my break, I had a bit of a go at this new discipline. Those who can do it, so that's not me, right? They make it look really, really easy. Yeah? Now, those who can't do it look a little different. That's not me either. There's no photographic or video evidence of my attempts at this particular activity, so I'm thankful for that. The image that to give as to how I went with this was that of a newly born giraffe with its wobbliness, its inability to stay balanced, even just to fall, its actual ability to fall flat on its face. And so, you know, there I was on this thing looking down at my wobbly feet on this wobbly board with this wobbly sea. And then you've got to do something with this paddle. Oh, it's hopeless. Until something that makes it much easier came to me. Look up. Look to where you're going. Suddenly it becomes a lot easier. And it's easy, isn't it, for our gaze as people in our lives, but also as a church together, to be, as it were, down here at our feet, wobbling all over the place with all of the immediacies of the circumstances of our lives. It's a little bit harder, though, isn't it, to lift the gaze? It's counterintuitive. But actually, it makes all the difference. And I needed someone to tell me that when I was on the stand-up paddleboard. Hey, Graham, try lifting your eyes to where you want to go. And so who's going to tell us as people, but as a church, where to go, where to look, so we're not just wobbling around looking at our feet? Who's going to tell us to lift our eyes to see where we're going? Well, it sort of is going to be me because I'm giving this sermon and I'm a leader, I'm the lead pastor, so I'm going to be involved in that. But whose voice do we need to hear? Whose voice has the authority and the expertise and the experience to command our undivided attention as to where we need to head? It's the Lord Jesus, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so on this Vision Sunday, we're going to try and do just that. What does Jesus say about his followers' vision? And my prayer is that what comes from my mouth will be what Jesus says from his mouth, his words to us. Let's pray. Lord, we don't want to be wobbly, either as people or as a church. And we certainly don't want to perish. So please have mercy on us this morning. Speak powerfully to our hearts. Win us to your way of seeing. Inspire us if we need inspiring. Revive us if we need reviving, to see again your glorious, gracious vision, to see as you see. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. And we ask this for your glory alone. Amen. So for this week, and actually for next week, there's one connecting picture or metaphor or idea, and it's not one that's been thought up by me. People do think lots of good things and helpful thoughts about things like vision and churches and so on. But the idea that we're thinking about this week and next is harvest. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I want us to start with who came up with that as an idea in the first place. And again, it's Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is speaking in John chapter 4 to his followers, his disciples. And we're going to spend a bit of time there. So if you've got a Bible with you, you can have that open. If you've got it on your device, have a look at that. And it'll also be up on the screen. But our first point this morning, the Lord Jesus tells his followers to open their eyes. He speaks to them about their actual vision, about their seeing. Verse 35 of John 4, "Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look." I tell you, Jesus says. In the first term of this year, we're going to spend lots of time focused on Jesus and who he is in John's gospel. We've got this series lined up on the I am statements that he makes. Jesus in his own words, really. And Jesus being who he is has instant implications for what should happen when he speaks, when he directs, when he urges, because of who he is. He's the Lord. He's in charge. He's the King. He's the ruler. He's the one who should never be ignored. Last week's message included this idea: when the Almighty Jesus speaks, his people must listen. Because of who he is, the risen and ascended Lord. In another scripture passage that we'll touch on over these 2 weeks, Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38, we read this. Jesus says again to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And here in John chapter 4, in our passage, the Lord Jesus tells his disciples to open their eyes and look. But we might ask, why were his disciples' eyes not open? What was going on there? That's why we read the whole of that account in John chapter 4. Because we got this amazing account of Jesus connecting with a despised and broken woman, the Samaritan woman. As he does so, he endangers his own reputation, really, by having anything at all to do with her. And yet, he's okay with breaking every social and cultural norm of the time as he invites her to receive the gift of eternal life that only he can give. Now, that's happening, and the disciples have gone away, haven't they, to get some food, and they come back upon this scene. Now, open your eyes would really be the last thing you'd need to encourage them to say, because they come back to this scene and they're surprised. Whoa, what's Jesus doing? I mean, their eyes are open, but not in the right way. But Jesus' words later show why they're not open in the right way. Verse 31, his disciples urged Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" To which Jesus replies, verse 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." That's my food. In keeping with other instances in John's gospel, the disciples sort of focus and latch on just to the literal and the urgent and the immediate. And they miss the incredibly important. They focus on the mundane and they can't see the glorious. Their stomachs were grumbling. They assumed that Jesus' most urgent concern would also be similar. His stomach must be grumbling. And so, you know, why isn't it? Could someone have brought him food? But Jesus is chewing on something, isn't he? Far bigger, far more important, and far more sustaining. Doing the will of God and finishing it. That's where Jesus' appetite is. Now, it doesn't mean that he won't eat, of course, but it does mean his eyes are up. His eyes are open. He sees what's most important. Management guru Stephen Covey famously talks about the relationship between urgency and importance as we look at things in our lives and what we do and what we choose to do. And it shows how those things which are urgent, some important, but some not so important. If they are urgent, they will still drain our attention from some very, very important things that don't seem to us to be so urgent. Urgent, non-important, demands our vision when super important, but seemingly not so urgent, gets the sideline. And here Jesus is sort of recalibrating his disciples' appetite. He's saying, be urgent about this, doing the will of God, seeing that work finished. If there's something to be urgent about, this is it. There's certainly something for us there, don't you think? COVID showed us, is still showing us how, among other things, how busy we are as people. Perhaps how non-urgent a lot of what we actually do was or is. Maybe it's still showing us that. You know, what urgent, seemingly urgent things are getting in the way of doing the will of God? For you in your life. Think about that. But for us as a church as well, that's big stuff for us to think about. You know, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things can easily come in and choke the world. We're going to think about that a little bit next week. These things drag our eyes back to our feet and cause us to wobble. Jesus' disciples are missing something. They're looking down. They're looking at the wrong thing. They're blind to something. They're blind to doing the will of God. They just can't see it. So let's look now at what that thing is. What is it to do the will of God in Jesus' mind? Second point then. The Lord Jesus wants his followers to see the harvest. That's what he wants. Our big idea this morning is this. Are we seeing what Jesus wants us to see? And what he clearly wants his followers to see is this harvest. Verse 35 again. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Now, think about harvest. It's a little bit of an alien idea to us in terms of our actual experience, isn't it? We live in a supermarket culture. We have globally sourced products. We can have stuff that's out of season here but in season somewhere else. So nothing's ever out of season, really. It means less to us now, perhaps, than it would have to people in Jesus' time. But we still feel it from time to time, nevertheless. The issue for farmers has always been this combination of importance and urgency. No harvest, no eat. No harvest, no income. No harvest, no future. No harvesting, the crop goes to waste. That is something we can resonate a little with at the moment. That's happening. COVID has had an impact on those who would normally come and work and pick veg and fruit and so on and various crops like that. And there's reports of farmers struggling because they cannot get these workers, but they've got hectares of like broccoli I heard about. I mean, that may be good news to some of you. Fields and fields of broccoli, and they've got to walk away from it. What does that do to the farmer's heart? And Jesus here says, open your eyes. The harvest is now. And what I imagine of this scene in this chapter is Jesus is talking this way, and there's some fields around, and they've just been sown with seed. And so one might say it's still 4 months until harvest. And the disciples are looking out at the fields. They're seeing that sort of view, but they're not seeing what Jesus is seeing. Because Jesus is looking somewhere else. Chapter 4, verse 28. Where's Jesus looking? This is the woman who leaves her water jar in verse 28. She went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. He sees the people who are coming to him. Verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him. Verse 41, and because of his words, many more became believers. These people are the harvest Jesus is talking about. And who are they? They're these Samaritans. They're these despised, spiritually compromised, always suspect Samaritans. They're these hard target who you'd never think would be worthy of receiving the gift of eternal life, let alone having it offered to them. Totally unexpected, the hard targets. And here they come. Jesus wanted his followers to see what he sees. They needed to open their eyes because they were missing it. And so let's bring this all together in our third point. As we think about our vision and what we're seeing, open your eyes to see the harvest. What keeps our eyes closed, or what has us looking in the wrong place? Could be this, that Jesus isn't actually the Lord of my life. So if he's not the Lord, I'm not really compelled to listen to him. The Lord of the harvest, he just doesn't have that level of influence on me. That's a big deal. Because the Lordship of Christ is who he really is. And he is bringing, God's word tells us, everything together under that one head. That's everything in all of our lives and this world is coming under him. He is our Lord. Related to that, we don't see people as Jesus sees people. That can keep our eyes closed or looking in the wrong place. As the disciples hadn't even conceived that the Samaritans might be up for salvation. But when you think like that, you don't have to go too far, do you? To end up forgetting or having forgotten. How is it that Jesus sees me? How does he see you? And what did he do about that? Was I so deserving of God's grace? That's the thing with grace, isn't it? We utterly don't deserve it. All of God's mercy, all of his initiating love. Have I forgotten, again from the message last week, the height from which I've fallen? Have I moved on from my first love? That can keep our eyes closed. Maybe it's fear. That can do it too. I do see the harvest to get there, but it's so big and it seems so urgent that actually I've shut my eyes again. I'm overwhelmed by it. I know it's going to be super hard work. But which farmer ever thought like that? Certainly not the ones Jesus had in mind. Verse 36, even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together in this work. Do you see the gladness there? It doesn't come from not doing the work. It doesn't come from just leaving it to others to do the work. It comes from being involved in this, doing the will of the Father, pursuing what? A crop for eternal life. And so you can imagine, can't you, a harvester with the sickle in hand, that's what they used to cut the grain in those days, and there's this massive great field, and they make their way into this vast field of ripe grain, and how do they go about it? Do they just stop, turn around and walk away because it's just too overwhelming? They're paralyzed by the scale of it. Maybe they feel guilty and condemned that what they're in their own minds able to do isn't really just going to cut it, just a few meters around and about me. And it's just our hectares. Jesus says to them, open your eyes to see the harvest. And they say, let's get into it. Just where they are. Because the importance and the urgency can't be denied, but neither can its gladness. Get into it. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. Not you, but he wants you to be part of it. He wants his people to see what he sees. We've spoken often, haven't we, of the tens of thousands of people who live near us as this church community. And doesn't that seem overwhelming? Yeah, thousands upon thousands of people. But does what Jesus says here in John 4 have anything to say to us about that? Sowing and reaping are what the Lord of the harvest has called us to be about. Not in 4 months' time. No, it's now. That's what Jesus is saying. Not in 4 months' time. It's now among surprising people, the hard targets, even the Samaritans, the people we may have written off. And what do we want to see? Well, we say it fairly regularly here. We want to see everyone conformed to the likeness of Christ. We want to see everyone receiving the gift of eternal life. That's our dream. But how is that happening? How do we see that here? We wish it was quicker, bigger, but we see it one at a time. That's what we see. Praise God for every one at a time. As we sit together under God's word as lead pastor of this church, I want you to all see this and understand this, that while we yearn and we pray and we plead for these more than 30,000 people who we live amongst, can we each think of just one? Can we do that? If we've known the grace of God ourselves, can we think of just one and pray for God's mercy for them, to love them practically as the opportunity arises, and just to see what God does? Maybe he'll use us. Maybe he'll use one of you, others gathered around. But each one of us, can we do that? And as we do that, each one of us, can we get excited about each of our each ones all together? Understanding that all the various ways in which we can serve, support, help, and encourage any and all of these ones. Can we think like this year? Can we be glad about that? One more each and one more together. Can we pray like that? Can we serve to that end so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together? That's a vision, isn't it? That's something worth seeing. Are we seeing what Jesus wants us to see? Are you seeing that? Perhaps we need to open our eyes. It's harvest time. And this is a barn. This gathering this grouping that God has drawn together. It's a barn. The harvest is sort of in here. And one thing we never want to happen is that we don't have room for more. These one service weeks have been interesting in January, haven't they? They've all involved seats needing to be put out in the foyer. And we had signs printed actually saying, please don't enter as we've reached COVID capacity, which we thought we might have to put out. And I prayed that it wouldn't come to that, although that is a weird prayer. I got a bit confused in the first service, but it is a weird prayer. Because I was saying, I don't want more people to come because I don't want to put those signs out and send them away. Now, there's something kind of cool about that, but it's not what's in view here, is it? No room for more. No room for the harvest. What does that mean? What it did was highlight that we always want to have room for more. More room for the harvest. So, are we seeing what Jesus wants us to see? Do we see the Lord of the harvest, Jesus Christ? Do you see him? Do we see the harvest that Jesus has in mind, the people around us who can believe in him? It's possible. Even those who we feel it's impossible for. Do you see your part in that? One more each. Do you see the necessity for our shared partnership as a church, serving each other's one mores together, just as we were served when God brought us in? Do you see this barn full and full again and again? Is that any part of our eyes being open to see the harvest? Do you see the necessary change that the good news of Jesus Christ makes inevitable? And will those changes bring you joy and gladness as we rejoice in the harvest, or will it just be bewilderment? Whatever we're doing this year, all our ministries starting up again, new ones perhaps coming online, massive building plan ahead of us, we need this gospel vision that Jesus has to be our focus. Indeed, some of the things we're going to do are aimed at making that more our focus this year. Just two. First one is this. Our monthly prayer meeting will help us to do that. It's going to be next Sunday, 7:30 to 8:30 here. Come and pray for the kingdom. Our second leading well, leading better leadership vision and training morning is going to happen in March. A specific focus on having the gospel central to everything that we do. So if we're doing anything in this church, get along to that. Let's get around that together. But brothers and sisters, are we seeing what Jesus wants us to see? Because Jesus says to us this morning in his word, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Let's pray. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your plan and purpose and initiative and commitment to saving us. Those who are now able to call you Father, those of us who are your dear children through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that that is available for anyone. Anyone in this world. Such is your grace and such is your power to be able to bring it about. And Lord, as you have caused us to think this morning about what we're seeing, may what we see, even this day, even this week, be far more like what you, Lord Jesus, want us to see. in terms of our lives, in terms of our activities, in terms of those around us. May you not only be Lord, you are Lord, but seen to be Lord and cherished to be Lord in our hearts. We pray it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.